Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to our latest podcast. This is episode number 44, 7 Ways to Make Your Website a Workhorse. We have a very special guest with us today, somebody who we have a wonderful working relationship with at Top Advisor Marketing, and somebody who we have found makes some of the best websites for financial services professionals out there. Her name is Samantha Russell. She is the CMO of 20 Over 10, and I'm joined as always by Kirk. Samantha, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
Well, we're very, very happy. We have not had a person on our podcast yet talking specifically about websites. So I'm excited to hear your big picture philosophy on what a website should have and how we are going to make your website a workhorse. Let's just jump right in, if you don't mind. So these are the 7 ways to make your website a workhorse. What is the first way?
So the first one that we view as the most important is the web to lead. So basically, what we're saying by that is that when someone is filling out anything on your website, a form, you know, putting their email in for some sort of gated content, that it should be flowing directly into your CRM to make your life easier.
So in other words, don't just have somebody fill out a form and have that show up in somebody's inbox and get ignored.
Yeah, or make somebody take it from their inbox and go manually enter it somewhere else. Again, making your website a workhorse, the whole idea is let's make you and your office as productive and efficient as possible.
How do you do that, though? I'm going to show an enormous amount of ignorance on this podcast, which makes me feel really good, of course. But how do you do that? So I have something that's on my website that's, that web to lead. How do I integrate that? Where do I integrate it? How? Just help me with that.
Yeah, sure. So every website platform is going to be a little bit different. Obviously, I'm most familiar with 20 over 10s, but most of the big ones that advisors are using, whether it's 20 over 10 or one of our competitors or even, you know, WordPress, they have different plugins that you can use because the technology providers that are providing these CRMs, they want it to be useful to you. Mm-hmm. So for instance, you know, with Redtail, that's a common CRM that many advisors use. Redtail has many different integrations, and so you can contact them and then contact your web provider and say, I want to make the two communicate with each other. You personally should not be the one that has to set these up if your provider has a one-click integration. So for instance, at 20 over 10, you'd go to your website dashboard and you'd put your Redtail account information in and it will automatically hook it up for you. But if that's not an option with your web provider, you can certainly contact your webmaster and ask them to manually set that integration up. And so now when somebody fills out your form and they put their first and last name, their email address and their phone number, what it's going to do is it's going to manually look at your Redtail account and see, is this person in there yet? Mm. And if they're not, it will be added. If they are, but maybe you don't have their phone number yet, you only have their email, it will add that extra piece of information to build a more complete profile.
We usually use MailChimp and Constant Contact for, that seems to be a lot of the ones, especially the ones, the websites we're doing with you guys, Samantha.
Yeah.
But Redtail and Salesforce are really interesting because they can do something that these other two can't. I mean, all three of these can trigger a nurture sequence. We're not going to talk about that today, but triggering a nurture sequence is a huge benefit to advisors to kind of move people along the influence spectrum towards them really trusting you more and wanting to work with you. But what Redtail and Salesforce can do is they can trigger other processes in your business too. And so that can be a really good for manage your business. I'm sure Jen Goldman, who we had on a recent podcast, she works with people all the time on that kind of stuff. How do we make your business processes so efficient? And those other two can do that. And I've heard a lot of wonderful stuff about Redtail, and obviously Salesforce is a, you know, household brand these days with how big and powerful they become.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you mentioned Jen. So Jen and myself actually put a webinar on this topic together recently, and we talked a lot about these different tools. And one of the things that makes me really cringe actually is I see so many advisors who either have a CRM, but they don't use an email marketing system, or they have an email marketing system, but they're not actively using a CRM. You really need both. You need to keep all of your information about your prospects in one and be able to have all that information as a go-to. And then the email marketing, as you mentioned, it allows you to drip on them over time. And so what ultimately your goal should be is when someone's filling out anything on your website, it's going to cross-reference both your email marketing system, whether it's MailChimp, Constant Contact, whatever you're using, as well as your CRM, and getting that data everywhere input for you. So again, it's just eliminating another couple steps that you have to do to manually enter all that information right. in.
I mean, the web delete is all about, you know, helping the advisor be more efficient with their, how they run their, you know, sales and marketing. But this next one, and I'm kind of taking your job here quickly, Matt.
Well, I have a follow-up question because I know I've gotten this question a lot, and Samantha, with your research, or Kirk, you might know the answer to this. In that web to lead form, what is the maximum you should ask for and what's the minimum information you should ask for?
That's a good question. My reaction is always less is more. So on 20 over 10's own blog, we actually only get your email if you want people to sign up for things for, you know, our email newsletter, but it will still cross-reference it to our CRM.
Okay.
If we are on our website and we're asking for information, it's usually name and email.
Okay.
So again, less is more in the sense that I really believe for a lot of people, once you ask for their phone number, they think you're going to call them and they get nervous that maybe they don't want to talk. They don't want a sales call, right? So trying to make it as low entry for them, it's easy to ignore an email if they
A good guide for that is what you're asking for. If you're asking for something that's really complex and it's a big, the person who's asking for something from you is expecting it's going to be a big commitment, you can ask for more information there. Those things don't typically happen very well on a website. With most advisors are not building relationships online to the degree where they would leverage that in that way. So most of the time advisors are going to be asking for very simple stuff, first name, last name, like you've indicated. But if you were doing an assessment, for instance, if you had a plugin with Riskalyze and it's really in depth, they're going to be more comfortable giving you more information as an example. And I just met another one of these interesting lead gen things yesterday. One of the things about what Matt and I are doing with this podcast, and you guys want to listen to this, I'm on a complete tangent here, is that people approach you with all kinds of interesting things, either wanting to be guests on your show or introducing you to interesting stuff. And you can always remember that when you're doing a podcast because it happens all the time to us. Anyway, what I was getting to here with web to lead and consumers, web to lead is all about the advisor being more efficient. The next one is about helping your clients be more efficient with what they need and want from you. So go ahead, Samantha.
Yeah, so this is a really simple, straightforward one that most people are familiar with. It's having a place on your website for clients to easily log into whatever portal you're using. So, you know, some of the familiar ones for people would be eMoney or Tamarack or Orion, things like that. And, you know, this can be both the planning software you use as well as a custodian page, just depending on which tools that you use. And again, it's all about giving people access. So a lot of folks might say, well, you know, I don't think my clients are going to go to my website to access this. They have, you know, the information and they can just go directly to eMoney, but they don't realize that most of your clients are going to go pull up an email where you originally sent them the link, bookmark that email, then, you know, click on it, then enter their information in. So if you just have it on your website in the upper right-hand corner and it's on easy on a mobile device to access, it's a thumb click away, they can get to it at any point. And it's just, again, reminding them that this is their information, their financial data, and putting it at their fingertips.
So I'm going to channel my inner Jennifer Goldman right now. And that might sound really creepy, especially to Jen listening to this, but I can hear Jen saying this, and I'm going to say it on her behalf. If one of your clients goes to your site and it says, you know, client login, for instance, in the top right of the site, which seems to be a good place to put it. But if they click on that and they've got six choices, you've got a problem in your business. And I know a lot of advisors, I've seen them, you know, hey, I've got four or three different places where somebody can log in. Can you explain who needs to go there and why? Jen would say, figure out your technology to the point where you have one place to send them. They click login and it goes in and it's all about them because it feels like it's all about the advisor once more. We don't need to beat that to death, but I just know she would say something like that.
I agree. You did a good job. You sounded just like her.
No. She's a little more energetic. And anyway, so the next one is one that I think a lot of advisors really struggle with because they don't really understand how to use it, but I'll let you introduce it and we can kind of get into that one.
Yeah, great. So it's Google Analytics. And this is one where it's not so much being on the front part of the website where your client sees, but on the back end being hooked up, right? So what we want here is to set up a Google Analytics account, take that tracking number, and have it track all the activity for your website. And this has become increasingly important. So we've seen so many advisors embrace podcasting or video marketing, or they are writing blogs every week, but yet they have no idea how those pieces of marketing are performing because they're not going into Google Analytics and tracking, you know, the performance of each individual piece of content. And so it's really like a shot in the dark then. You know, you might get 5 likes on a post that you did on LinkedIn, but how many of those people actually read it? How many people found it through organic search? How many people who read that article spent 5 more minutes going through other blog posts that you've written? So what Google Analytics can do, it will show you in very great detail where people are finding you online, what they're doing once they land on your website, how long they're spending on your website, and what page they're leaving your website from. So this is really, really important. It allows us then to start making decisions based on actual data and not just gut instincts or feelings or, oh, I think this was the most important piece of content I produced. And then really what you can start to do is if you see, for instance, that a ton of people are reading your content on, you know, 401k plans for small businesses, you can start to position yourself a little bit more as an expert in that space. Maybe you have a landing page set up for it, then you start producing at least 1 blog piece a month on that topic. And you've found a little niche that you can crawl into and make a bigger name for yourself in organic search and, you know, just in more website traffic. So it's really, really important tool, and it's completely free. That's the best part. And Google Analytics can track any website. So there's no reason not to use it.
Yeah. Can you just explain how simple it is to set up Google Analytics for everybody?
Yeah. So you log into Google, you have your, if you already have a Gmail account, it's pretty simple to go from there. If you go to googleanalytics.com, they'll walk you through the steps, and then you're just going to add in your website URL, and there's some verification you have to do to, you know, claim that you're the owner, but then it'll output a what's called a tracking code. So it always starts with a UA, so it's called a UA number, and then it has some numerical characters after it. And then you take that. If you're on a platform like ours, 20 over 10 or some of the more robust website platforms, typically there's just an input on your dashboard where it'll say Google Analytics tracking number, and you just copy and paste the number in and click save, and it starts tracking. If you're on a platform that doesn't have that one click option, you add it to the header, but Google also provides you that instruction, so you can do it that way. But once you get that code added in, it connects to your website and it'll start tracking data right away.
So you need to go to Google, set up your account through, it doesn't even have to be through Gmail, right? You just go to Google, whatever your Google account is. If you don't have one, go set one up. Then you go in there and you ask for the analytics code, which is a UA code. And then you go to your web provider and you plug in that code in the right field. And your platform, it says UA code, enter it here. It's pretty easy. Press save. So that's how easy it is. And if you're using a web provider who doesn't have that, you can just have the webmaster, if you will, go in and add it in the right places. I mean, it's simple stuff. In addition to all the great things that you just mentioned this does for you, one of the things that we've used it for ourselves, and advisors can do this too, is it allows people in your company, whether it's you or staff, whoever's managing your marketing, to come back and say, look, I know you love talking about X, but Y is what people actually care about online. And there are lots of ideal people, and we're getting, you know, we get more inquiries with this. So it doesn't mean you want to stop writing about X if it's really important, but you can introduce more to Y, or maybe introduce Y in your X. And it allows you to meet people where they want to be connected to. They, you know, write about or talk about what they seem to care more about. You don't want to just do that, because that means you're not still exploring other opportunities, but you can do a little bit, you can focus a little bit more on that. If it turns out that there's something that you talk about that seems to be hit over and over again, that can introduce really interesting opportunities in your business. For Matt and I, we had a podcast that went out called 270 Days to a Better Business, and we turned that into a course, which we're launching right now, which is called Brand Mastery Course. And we'll be talking about that very soon. I think it was the prior podcast to this one, number 43. And that Brand Mastery Course came from that one podcast. So you can do some really interesting things. Now, that wasn't necessarily Google Analytics. That was just looking at the analytics. So think about that. But don't get consumed by analytics. but understand the basics of it so you can identify opportunities. That's the real idea there. So, you know, in addition to Google Analytics using these online tools, the next one is social media. And any thoughts on social media, what maybe some of the benefits and tools to consider are?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is when you have your social profiles connected to your website and people click over to see, that's where they often will get the real flavor for your personality, even more so than your website, right? Because we tend to be more, even more personal on social media. What we write, we don't necessarily think about as long as hard. So the editing becomes a little bit more loose and you get more of an authentic personality shining through. So if you give people an opportunity to go see what you're sharing on social, who you're connected to, they might see they have people in common with you. It just really all of a sudden allows them to build a more robust image of who you are as a person and whether they're going to like working with you. Of course, it's also going to boost your SEO, which is really important too. There's a lot of reasons for that, but just know that it does. And the more active you can be on social and linking back to pages on your website or blog posts will boost your SEO as well. But from my perspective, I have found that prospective clients love to get a sense of who is this person that I potentially will be working with. That often is what comes down to the decision-making factor. Unfortunately, it'd be hard for some people to communicate that just through their website. I wish everybody could, but
it's pretty much impossible to communicate that through your website. And it's not why people go to your website, to learn about your personality. So website has a role. And one of the things that we've done with you guys, so if you're not tracking all of our podcasts, one of the things that Top Advisor Marketing has done, and it's one of my favorite initiatives that I've done in my career, 17 plus years, is we've strategically partnered with 20 over 10 to offer what we call brand mastered themes. So we've got a theme or a formula, if you will, on how a website ought to unfold for an advisor. And we've worked with 20 over 10 to integrate the two. You have to work through Top Advisor Marketing to get access to that. And you can learn about that through our Brand Mastery class. And we'll provide links in the show notes here how you can get there, as well how you can get to all Samantha's other wonderful stuff. But one of the things that we do, and this is my point here, is that we make social media a big thing. It's not in the footer as a quarter of an inch icon that's kind of hidden. We make it bold. It's got its own row. And the links are an inch by an inch, more or less. And the idea here is that social is not an afterthought anymore for advisors. I know a lot of advisors don't know how to use it and listen to other podcasts. We get into all that stuff, but it's a great opportunity to showcase your personality. One of our good friends on Top Advisor Marketing Podcast is Joe Lucas. And Joe Lucas is a great coach, and he does a 5-minute video every day. The guy's incredible, but he did one recently called that this business is a personality driven business. So if you go to Joe's LinkedIn page, you'll find one of those videos. Just go to his activity and you'll see that, because that's where he shares those. And he also shares them on YouTube, on his YouTube channel. But that video on this being a personality driven business, that's social media is where they go. So don't make, if this is where they understand your personality and they want to, because everybody wants to these days, people more and more want to work with people they get and like and who they think get them. So don't make those small icons. That kind of leads us in a good segue into the next one, which is talking about video. Any thoughts on video and how important and where it can go on a website?
Yeah. So I see a lot of people get these really high production quality videos made and they want to have them on their homepage. And while I think that's great, I think the video that resonates most with people is when you do it more like a vlog, so a video blog. Again, just going back to being more authentic, people hearing your voice, and it's not this high production value where you're nervous, you've edited it and reshot it 1,500 times and have a camera crew kind of posing you, but more just you, you know, maybe in front of your MacBook or whatever kind of high quality camera you can get access to, recording some, like you mentioned, 5-minute videos on a topic or two and putting those in an accessible place where people can hear your voice, see your face, get those nonverbal cues. Maybe you have a little bit of humor you inject or, you know, some sort of metaphors that give them a sense of, again, of your personality. I find those to be the most successful and are watched by prospective clients 10 times more than a more formal introductory, you know, high production quality video on the homepage.
Yeah, it's really hard for advisors to pull off video. And I know a lot of advisors who have had bad experiences. I think they, in their minds, they try not to think it's a bad experience when they try to convince themselves that that the video is actually better than it is, but I find a lot of live action videos, it's very difficult for advisors to pull those off because when you're selling on a camera, it's really challenging because you don't look comfortable. But if you switch it to what Samantha just talked about, which is use it to showcase your personality, tell stories, give analogies, you know, talk about what you do, talk about stuff that you would talk about in a podcast or write a blog post on. If you can do that, those video blogging things, they can be really interesting. And you've got a couple of tools to consider here. If you can introduce those, I have a couple thoughts on those too after you're done.
Yeah. So one that we have listed here is really from Jen Goldman. I'm actually not as familiar with it. Andy can help, but she recommends it. The other two, Guidevine and Viral Marketing, different approaches. Certainly, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with Guidevine and their platform and trying to represent different advisors in different locations with different niche practices. But part of what they do is also help you get a video made, a short video that is more authentic feeling all about your practice and what you do that you can use anywhere. And then they also host it on their website. Viral marketing is a different approach. It's really interesting. So what those guys are doing is every week, if not every other week, it's twice a month. Sorry. Yeah, so pretty. Twice a month, they will work with you and they ask you questions and then you answer the questions and they do it via a video conference call and they're recording your answers and then they edit out their asking the question part. So it just sounds like you're talking to the camera and they turn them into 2-minute short video clips that then are emailed to your list, you know, your MailChimp list or your Constant Contact list.
Are you going to edit out Matt and I and use this just you, by the way?
I could. I don't know if it would sound as good though, Kirk.
No, I'm just having fun.
But yeah, so what's interesting though is for someone who's really looking for someone to give them a lot of handholding and they're not looking to do it all themselves, you pay a set fee every month and then they do the interviewing, they come up with the topics, they deploy, you know, the actual video call, they do the editing afterwards, and then they send it out to your email list. So they're doing pretty much all of the legwork for you. You just have to show up and give your talking points. So it is a little bit of a higher price point. I think the last time I checked, it was like $500 a month. But for someone who's really wanting to get this done and they know they're not going to do it without someone helping them, that is a great option.
Yep. So Andy, I used a guy named Andy in Iowa, and I wonder if it's the same guy. And he was amazing. And I was telling him many years ago, you should be working with more financial advisors. So I'm curious. I'm going to have to call Jen up and see if that's the same person. Anyway, Guidevine, they have a neat service. And there's other services like those guys out there. But Guidevine will actually, it's like find a financial advisor type of portal. And they do some really good videos because we recently had a client who went through them and they turned out very well. Again, that's more of a sales, here's about my business, here's who we help, that here's our investment philosophy, those kinds of things. So they can be good. Viral Marketing is doing, I really love. And we actually just put those guys in one of our proposals to a client because I think they're a perfect fit for somebody that we're working with. The thing about video is you have to be ready to knock it out of the park. But if you're talking about authentic things, it's easier than if you're trying to do a sales video. So the next two are, I'll let you introduce them. So the first one.
Okay. So the first is the call scheduler. We can take them one by one. And this is something that is becoming more and more popular and for good reason, which is just, you know, there's a lot of advisors out there that either are sole proprietors or they have, a smaller team, a smaller shop. And that's part of the value that they provide is really all of that one-on-one time with their clients. But it makes it really difficult because they're doing everything. They're the marketing guy, they're the financial guy, they're the admin, or I shouldn't say just guy or lady, that's getting everything done. And so going back and forth, scheduling meetings is also something that can just take a lot of your time, right? So if we're trying to make your website a workhorse, why not set something up so that people can just book a time on your calendar? And also it puts the impetus, you know, it makes it easier, I should say, for the client to be the one to do something when it's convenient for them.
And they feel in control when they do that too, right? The client, I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Like you're being really sensitive to the fact that they've got busy lives. So I think it's a super convenient. What are a couple of the tools that advisors can use?
So the three that I love the most are Calendly, Schedule Once, and Timetrade. And we actually did a blog post at 20 over 10 comparing and contrasting all three. So we'll make sure to link to that.
You got to make me link to a lot of stuff, aren't you? That's the thing about you. I was going to say this later on, but now's a good time. You have so much content. You blow my mind. I mean, and I read it and it's always very, very thoughtful, well-researched. And I think that's one of the most brilliant things that you guys bring. I mean, your web platform is amazing, great service, but man, the amount of marketing and technical stuff that you bring to the table is incredible. So,
thank you.
Calendly, Schedule Once, Time Trade. And there's another one you have here, Doodle. That one's really cool because Doodle lets you get a whole bunch of people to agree on some dates and times.
Right. Yeah. So they all have different purposes for sure. And the nice thing is, though, you can make any of them work with your website. So while you have, you know, these different calls to actions, one of them can be to schedule a meeting. And you can, with any of the tools, also divide things up. So if you want it to be current clients versus a prospective client. And then if it is a current client, maybe you have a 30-minute phone call they can schedule, or they're, you know, every 6 months in-person meeting. So, you know, gives them lots of different options. And thank you for the nice compliment about our content. I will say just quickly, our philosophy at 20 over 10 has always been to, even if you're not going to use our services, you know, please read our stuff, please listen to what we're saying and try to implement it with the tools that you do have, because we just want to see people become better at marketing their businesses and move away from this cookie cutter, I'm going to just say whatever I've already been told to say that compliance approved. And if we can preach that message, we'll be happy.
You want to know something? Matt and I we've been in this business for a long time. And I will say that I love hanging out with people who produce a lot of content. You know why? Because people who produce a lot of content, especially when they're doing the hard work to create it, they usually run businesses that are like that too. And you know, when people are thinking about being content marketers or digital marketers, that's the vibe you put out there. And it's undeniable. So, you know, that's just a good example of what, you know, advisors, you know, need to think about.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one quick other thing about that is people, I think, get so overwhelmed about getting started. But once you get in the habit of it, it becomes so much easier. Every second I'm writing down a new idea for something for our blog or a webinar. And for advisors, I always say most advisors are reading constantly all of the time. So take an article you're reading and write your thoughts about why it was an important piece or why you thought the author missed the mark and make that a blog post, link back to the original article, and there you go. You're done.
It doesn't you're following my tangents, which is a very dangerous combination.
Sorry, I know. We have one more to get to.
Oh, yeah. I usually lead people down that path anyway. So the last one is a really important one.
Yes. I think it's probably the most out of this list, because if you don't have this, then what is the point of your website? It doesn't have one. So this is the call to action. And so you typically will have more than one type of call to action on your website. You know, people call them different things, a secondary, a primary. But what we're saying here is before you get started building a website or redesigning one, or if you have one already, go back and look at it. The thought should be, what ultimately action do I want people to take? And if I don't think they're going to take that action that I want immediately, like scheduling a meeting with me to learn more about business, what can I get them to do in the interim that will help them to learn more about my business? So this really, really, really helps to get people in your funnel so that you can drip on them, so that you can connect with them over time and eventually cultivate that, you know, authentic relationship where they will trust you enough to get in touch. So at 20 over 10, when we're doing the initial website build process, we're always talking about, you know, the goals people have for their website, and we turn those goals into calls to action.
Yeah, there's no doubt that a call to action is one of the most critical things on your site. Advisors really struggle with this too, because in the past, before content marketing, what were the call to actions? It was, you know, contacts for a free, no obligation financial consultation, right? So you talked about primary, secondary. There's also another angle too, which is tiered call to actions. I talked about having three tiers. The first tier is, what can we give that has so much value, is going to be so the smallest commitment we can ask and get people to say yes to. So what's the easiest yes? Level two is, okay, they already said yes. What could we, you know, ask for now? It's maybe a little bit more commitment, shows that they're even more interested. And then level three of obviously, you know, an extension of that. Your level one or your primary or your tier one call to actions have to be stuff that people can easily say yes to. A paper, a checklist, things like that. You know, tier two might be a course, an assessment, a webinar, and tier three maybe, you know, contact us to review something, you know, specific and, you know, that relates back to your brand and your audience. And so there, you know, that could be a consultation, but there may be a better way. Don't word it like a consultation. Make it more specific to what the outcome they're going to get when they meet with you. Maybe there's a report that goes with that, something like that. So it's really important to think about those. And any of these call to actions, you want to go back to one of our first thing today, which was web to lead, right? So our seven items are web to lead, make it easy for you to manage people who come to your site and engage you. Second one is have a consumer portal where they can get access to their online accounts. Third one is to have Google Analytics so that you understand how your site is being used and where there are opportunities for you to be better. The fourth one is social media. So make sure you're focusing on social media, not as an afterthought, but as an important part of your business, because people want to go there to experience your personality. Number five is video. How do we integrate video? It showcases a lot of personality. You could replace the idea of video with podcasting if you want to, because that's another great venue for doing that. Number six is call scheduler. So how do you make it easy for people to book meetings with you on their terms? And we gave you all kinds of examples. And now we're into the call to action. So if you, with a call to action, you want people to engage certain areas of your site based on your expertise and what they want, and you're going to use that web to lead thing to make sure that that goes into your system. So those are our 7 points. And Samantha, thanks for sharing those. Now we're going to do a really important part. We want to make sure that our listeners know where to go get more educated on the kinds of marketing that you are providing. And your blog is chock full of incredible value, all free. It's kind of like somebody, most people would say, hey, we've got a resource area. And you, for you, it's a blog because you write prolifically, always well thought out. So where do people go to get to your blog?
Yeah. So you can just go to 20over10.com and click the link at the top of the page that says blog. It'll take you right there. The direct URL is just blog.20over10.com. So either way, you'll get there. And then once you're there, as you mentioned, there is a tremendous amount of resources. So what I suggest is up in the upper right-hand corner, there's a search field. You can obviously browse it to start, but if you're looking for more on Google Analytics, if you're looking for top tech tools, if you're looking for meeting schedulers, if you're looking for help with SEO, type in any of those terms, and then all of the results will be filtered there for you, and you can start going through. And all of our webinars, our recorded webinars and tutorials are also there. So it's all in one place, easy for you to access and filter by keyword to find those resources.
That's perfect. So, you know, make sure you go there. There's another thing that we should introduce, and that is the fact that we collectively are launching something called the Brand Mastery Course, which is a 37-week program where we, instead of people hiring us to do it for them, we'll guide you to do it for yourself opportunity. And when I say guide you to do it for yourself, I don't mean put the onus completely on you. That's not true, because Matt and Ray on our team here at Top Advisor Marketing, who are brilliant at helping people and guiding them more so than I am. I'm the ideas guy, but they're brilliant at helping people go through a process. We've got an incredibly detailed class, limited to 12 advisors. Starts on October 17th, 2017. Which makes this less of an evergreen podcast now that I'm doing that, but go to our site if you want more. So the link is going to be topadvisormarketing.com/brand-mastery. And this course, so in this course, for the price that we're giving, it's well over $25,000 worth of marketing value. We're going to make sure you do it right. There's going to be all kinds of checks and balances, input from us, homework. It's guided, it's paced so that you actually get it done and follow through with it. You actually get a fully baked, what we call brand mastered website with 20over10.com. We're going to teach you step by step how to add all the pages that you want, the kind of content, the kinds of what I call brand depth pieces, paper, everything, and how to connect them. We're going to send that, we're going to give you a template on how to answer all those questions. When that template is done, you hand it over to 20over10. They are so good because they built so many financial websites and because they work with us. They know how to take that information and build an amazing website. It's not nearly as comp. We've made it so simple, but our focus isn't simple. Hey, you get a fairly decent website. It's a simple process, takes time to build with a lot of learning. But when you do it, you get a fantastic website. So if you go to that topadvisormarketing.com/brand-mastery, you'll see some examples of sites that we've actually built with 20over10 with this brand mastered theme or formula. And these sites have turned out fantastic. You should be able to, not should, you will have a site like that going through this program. So we're really tremendously grateful to 20over10 for being such an incredible strategic partner. Go to their website, check out their stuff. And thanks, Samantha, so much for being on our show. And we are going to have you back at least once a quarter.
Well, thank you. I'll be excited. Yeah, we have so many things we could talk about, I'm sure. So I'll be excited to come back. And thanks for having me today.
And Matt, I'm so sorry that I pushed you off the chair today.
Dude, you were on fire today. Man, I can't wait for you to listen back to this. You were all super excited and like your energy was, I was like, man, I'm just listening to a good podcast.
Well, I'm learning from the voice. So, you know, it's got to rub off on me sometimes.
Well, it should by now. Goodness gracious. All right. Well, this was episode number 44 with Samantha Russell from 20 over 10. And this was 7 ways to make your website a workhorse. Thank you very much. And if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please make sure that you click the subscribe button right below and share it with all of your friends and family. With that, thank you very much. And we'll see you on the other side of the mic.